I was going to mention a specific job where the pipework, we tend to call them mains, when the pipework ran out of the vertical boxing into individual floors and wards, we won a job there, I think it was in the mid-70s, whereby we had to take ceiling panels down and fit what they call motorised valves to pipework to be able to work from a computer to shut down various floors automatically from a central point. So the computer could be switched by a member of the hospital staff, which in turn would drive a valve shut out of sight in a ceiling void and close down a huge zone of the hospital. Perhaps they wanted to completely redecorate one of the wards with nobody in there, gut the ward, take it down to the bare walls. Well, all they would do would be to isolate this valve from afar, and it would an electric motor would drive the valve closed. And only at some later date, I mean, it's even worse today, because if they do that, there has to be several people, could appointed persons, so that nobody else can switch the valve on. But in those days, they would have just asked one of the fitters, of the hospital board fitters, to come shut and clamp off the switch so that the valve drove shut. And when the work was finished, and you may have even altered pipework beyond that valve, the valve would be opened again electrically, and that the heating or process to that ward or that area of the hospital would instantly be re-energised. And that was a big job for us. It was £24,500, I've looked back and found out, in the mid-70s, which would have been a largest job. As regards the pipework, the largest bore pipework was obviously the pipework from the boilers before it had time to split to these various sub-circuits, and therefore it was the pipework from the boiler house within the ducts below the hospital that was the largest pipework on site. And if they got a small leak down there, it could be just what we call a pinhole, it would fill the area with a fog, which was really water vapour. It wasn't dangerous at the outset, but soon it became a visibility problem and a damp problem. So the hospital board would ask us to go there, find the leak. We couldn't isolate it usually on the day, because that would have killed a ward or CSSD or autoclaves, anything that was essential. So all we could do was to say, yes, we can come in, maybe this weekend come in, it was usually urgent by then, and take the steam off to that particular area of the hospital for as short a time as we could, and repair the leak, and then switch it all on again and re-insulate the section that we'd had to repair, because if anybody touched that, it was a very serious burn. It was probably running at 10 bar, the steam supply over there. I'm not sure exactly, but that would have been in the region of 10 bar. And at that pressure, the temperature of the side of the pipe is very hot indeed and would take the skin off immediately. So these pipes had to be insulated and witnessed to be insulated the minute the repair had been done. Very often they were fairly innocuous joint leaks where there's these things called flanges. They're like round plates with a series of bolts round. Where they're pulled together, there's a non-metallic joint between it, and that would sometimes give out. So sometimes all we had to do was to pry these two flanges apart and drop a new joint in and then re-bolt it all up again. If it was a pipe leak, a pinhole, which got worse and worse, then we had to take a section of pipe out. Sometimes we had to do a weld down there, what we call a positional weld, because the next flange may be 10 metres away. So you'd cut a piece of pipe out, do a positional weld, maybe a metre away, and put a short piece in with two new flanges on. So there were a variety of leaks. Also, valves can leak badly. They last for years, but occasionally there'll be a leak blowing from the gland of a valve. And again, that can completely fill up a duct with what appears to be fog, but it's actually hot water vapour. So again, the same thing applies. That valve has to be isolated, semi-dismantled, repacked and put back together. And the very worst, a new valve put in. the ducts under the hospital, and they were a little bit like a trench system from the First War. You'd walk along it, and the pipes would be either side of you, and then it would turn, and it would turn in another direction. And sometimes you were thankful you had the hospital engineer with you, because you weren't at all sure how to get back. Sometimes you'd perhaps run a string out or something so that you knew how to get back. And that brings me on to the insects, because if we were working down there over a weekend, you'd suddenly notice there was a chirping of several insects behind pipes. Usually they were out of sight. I don't doubt the odd one was spotted, but they knew you were there and they just chirruped, and it was a little bit like the sound of a jungle. I'm not sure what they were, whether they were crickets or something worse, but they could set up a hell of a din. It was obvious to me that the circumstances down there suited them. It was dark, it was humid, and if you got even small steam leaks, the place was running with water after a little while. So the situations were ripe for that type of insect. I don't remember them ever being a nuisance other than a little off-putting.